Sorry, no, I'm not listening. I've got Molly on the line.
Hi, Molly.
Wait, head.
We might have to do one edit.
Hey, let's go!
Bricks in the end zone.
Come on, let's go!
Ladies, gentlemen, cyborgs and turkey nibblers, you are tuning back into Brits in the End Zone, or you may know us affectionately as @Brits_endzone. The podcast has transformed into a Yo Sushi conveyor belt of presenters, with the listeners grabbing the most expensive plate in myself, Dan, known as Greenie, the presenter. We are joined today with Charlie, our most wonderful engineer, who can maybe chime in.
Chime.
Am I allowed to say anything?
No, you keep quiet. Unfortunately, we're again not joined by Adley, who will remain banned until the Eagles finally lose a game, and JP, who is out drinking Germany dry after watching Spurs. However, and I say however with such an inflection in my voice, we are excited to welcome back our resident Jags truther, Charles, who, despite losing this week in fantasy, is not feeling too down as he has gained himself a new fiancé.
Oh.
Welcome back, Charles. How
Thank
are you?
Thank you. I'm absolutely delighted to be back. I had a wonderful trip in America, absolutely wonderful time, but I was quite sad to not be getting involved in the podcast. And I did enjoy listening to the two episodes I missed without knowing what the hell was going on. And you guys did very well. You know, obviously not quite as good. There was a piece missing quite blatantly, but Adley. No,
I think it was the probably 6 to 10 minutes we generally talk about Jags.
Is that making up for it this week, so listen out.
Well, it's lovely to have you back, because it's been almost a month now. But
yeah.
Why don't we just kick us off, knowing that it's the Thanksgiving holiday season, with a question of the week.
Can I just say, Greeny just winks at me. I think it's our 21st episode, and he still doesn't realise there are no cameras in the room. Sorry.
I really thought for the last 15 episodes this was being filmed, but that's just
like
watching
that?
Your reactions after right. the police reports.
But
so question is from Jack Baylor, who has become our opening question master. If each key component of a Thanksgiving meal was an NFL player, who would be what? So, Charles, kick us off with this. I guess you've had a Thanksgiving meal before.
I have, but not kind of only one in England based on what I assume people think you're meant to do in America. I've never actually had, a meal to be thankful for. If that's what you have, I don't know. Clams and yams. Is that what
clams? Clams and yams.
They always say pass the yams.
Yes, they say pass the clams.
Okay,
I think that
clams.
New Orleans.
Get some
trip.
Clams in this Thanksgiving meal.
I realise as I said clams that I definitely meant yams. But apparently you're meant to have them. And
so we sit around the table eating clams and saying thank you in different languages.
Only one. Americans can't speak any other languages. Maybe some Spanish, but no. I haven't really had a proper Thanksgiving meal. I know they have turkey though.
Okay. Well, at this point, I'd actually love you to run through the equivalent players.
Who's the equivalent of the yams?
I kick us off with doing mine.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how it goes from there. Right, Charles? How does that work for you?
Yeah.
So I've gone turkey, which is obviously the key part you mentioned. Zeke Elliott. And he's left your fantasy a bit undercooked since he got banned for six games of the season. And he's also fallen afoul.
Sorry, I need to spat my drink out there. You did warn me there were bad jokes coming. Yeah.
So
you have thoroughly delivered.
You mentioned clams. I think what you meant was yams, but
we
call them sweet potatoes. They
are
part of the same family.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why they call them something else, but I've gone with Russell Wilson. Sometimes you see in adverts or interviews, adverts for the yams, obviously, interviews for Russell Wilson, a bit wet, a bit too wet, but it's a very underrated dish, and they've got little bits of magic in there, which is the hard bits of the sweet potato. And
right, okay, well this is going
it's a bit it's gone
in
a bit
very
creative.
Odd way.
So I've gone with the gravy to be Marcel Darius, which is a very nice complimentary piece to a delicious plate already.
Oh, that's lovely. I was going to be talking about him later in the show.
Well, that's Marcel Darius is the defensive tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Correct.
And the last one I've gone with post-meal, what do? You unbuckle the trousers and you sit on the couch and watch some films. That I've gone with Ben McAdoo. He's watching his tape on the couch.
Very nice. I like it. Also, but in terms of the Marcel Darius, I think every meal kind of needs gravy to put it all together. And the Bills have lost their gravy and have lost their winning formula, and they're eating leftovers in the corner, cold leftovers, and being quite poor.
Do you think that is the main correlation between the Bills' downturn in performance?
I mean, the fact that they've gone from one of the best rushing defenses to having over 200 yards a game against them in the rushing game since he left, that's kind of decent enough by itself. But then if you couple with that since the Jags got Marcel Darius, their rushing defence is now the best in the NFL since we got him, which is mental.
That is a fair enough point, but the Bills have played the Saints and their monstrous duo of running backs.
True, but they also played a couple of other teams who aren't quite as good as them. The Chargers aren't that bad.
Relax yourself here. Keenan Allen, 180 yards, whatever he got.
Very nice, yeah, very nice.
So, any more contributions from you?
My main one was being that considering turkey, as far as I'm aware, is the main, the coup de grace of the dish, the main focal point of the dish, I think that Tom Brady in the NFL, he is the face of the NFL as things stand. He's the face, he's the front of Madden. He's the one that everyone knows about. He's like the David Beckham equivalent of football in the early 2000s. Everyone knows Tom Brady. He is the main guy everyone wants to see, and he delivers, and the turkey is that.
Okay, well, your hand actions during that was very much poultry emotion.
Oh, my God.
So I will keep going for this Thanksgiving delight. At this point, I actually want to share to you, because I was very close to not ever coming back onto this podcast, and that was due to our fantasy matchup that we had in the weekend.
So close.
And it shares the kind of delight of being a fan watching in Britain. So I was going into the final matchup Sunday night. Carson Wentz playing for the Eagles, and I had Dak.
And you had a 26-point
lead. With a 26-point lead going into the final head-to-head. So I couldn't sleep, but I was excited. I thought he was in the bag.
Well, of course. You assume, a quarterback's going to get at least 10 to 15 points, which means that Wentz would need a monster 40-point game to absolutely have a worldy performance to put it out of the bag.
And you would say Dak is probably the better quarterback, but not on form that way.
Agree to disagree. I don't think he's the better quarterback. I think he's good, but Wentz is showing himself to be one of the highest caliber in the league.
Sure. He's looking great right now.
Yeah, he's good enough.
Element,
he certainly didn't think that Wentz was going to be 26 points better than Dak.
So I wake up at 3 a.m. and I don't go to sleep till 5:30. And it's Monday morning and I'm just watching Dak on minus 2 points and Wentz just scoring, throwing two touchdowns in the top of the fourth quarter. And I'm shaking my girlfriend from her slumber and saying, it is all over for me. It is. And she held that against me for about 2 days. But it's just very difficult to sleep when there's a big fantasy matchup.
What was quite nice in
but
that
I made
game
it back.
Was that Wentz kept throwing 2-point conversions because their kicker, Jake Elliott, got injured. So that boosted his stat line quite nicely. Unfortunately, not quite nicely enough, as you ended up beating me by 2 points. And so that was close but no cigar and a very well-fought matchup.
Enough to keep me near the right at the top of the league. So let's roll into the matchups from last week. We had, obviously, the Eagles. They're keeping it rolling and they're looking strong on all sides of the ball. Charlie, did you manage to catch up on the Eagles? Or how are you still rolling with the Eagles winning every single game? Are they going to win out?
It's getting a little bit boring, isn't it? I didn't actually manage to watch the game because of the time. I caught up on the highlights, so I haven't watched it. But 9-1 is just, it's mental.
Yeah,
I agree. Very boring.
But it's just, it's not even like they're just scraping through. They're just demolishing every team. They're making, their defence is fantastic and their offence is just, they've got so many pieces that just all seem to come together, and they're not reliant on one player to carry them through. They've just, 1 week it's Alshon, 1 week it's Aguilar, 1 week it's LeGarrette Blount, 1 week it's Corey Clement. Now they've got a giant.
Are you naming
so
their
pieces.
Full 53-man squad?
You can probably find each week where each of those players has got 2-touchdown game and really, you know, carried them through. And it's not relying on one player, which is really important.
I am also really enjoying watching Ajayi as well, knowing he's from London.
Yeah.
It was a little shout out.
Absolutely.
We did not enjoy watching him live, but that yeah. is on a different team and a different story. So during the weekend's games was definitely highlighted with a lot of turnovers, a lot of interceptions, no more so than the interesting opening start for Peterman for the Bills.
What?
Against my
I
beautiful
feel so
Chargers.
So bad for him. He was drafted in the fifth round as a, you know, as a prospect, as a backup, you know, learn, take, you know, take your time. And he gets thrust in at what you can only really assume must have been something to do with the owners saying, "Come on, let's make a change," because they're in the playoffs. They before this game, they were in the playoffs, and Tyrod Taylor had been looking good. I know he had a bad game against the Saints, but that's because the Saints scored 50
that
points.
That was the defense,
exactly.
Like, what's that
it's nothing
to do with
Tyrod Taylor, but to put in Peterman, you think, okay, well, maybe he's been showing quite a lot. Maybe he's been really good in training. His first 9 passes, he threw 4 interceptions. That's absolutely mental. Tyrod Taylor had thrown 3 all season.
I can really imagine that getting him a great quarterback rating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, can you get negative quarterback rating? Because I mean, that's really, you got to feel sorry for the guy. He ended up with 5.
The first interception was actually just a miscatch from the receiver.
Yeah.
And that sets a terrible precedent. You've got Joey Bosa one side, Melvin Ingram the other side, and Casey Hayward in the backfield. That is a Chargers trio you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Your boys do look quite good.
But let's move on. There was more interceptions in the Chiefs and Giant game, except they weren't by quarterbacks.
Yeah, this was a really, really low-scoring affair. It ended up 9-6 in overtime with no touchdowns being scored. I know there were high winds, which kind of leads to, you know, fewer balls being thrown, although they didn't tell the head coaches because they decided to get... I think there were 4 interceptions in that game by 4 separate players, 2 quarterbacks, and then Shane Vereen, the running back for the Giants, and then the monster tight end, Travis Kelce, for the Chiefs. I mean, what are they doing? Like, this is a game where... It's the weather's bad. It's like 25 mile an hour winds. Get the ball to Kareem Hunt. Run the ball on a really bad Giants team. Don't get your tight end to throw a 50-yard bomb to no one. It's mental.
It looked like he appreciated that the guy downfield was covered and then thought, I'm never going to get this opportunity again. Let me just sling it. I've got a big
crazy
arm.
That's just, they'd run that play before, but I think, was it Tyreek Hill threw an interception a few weeks ago?
Well, keep it rolling.
Yeah, like, you know, it's such a bizarre thing. Anyway.
Well, let's go to more high-scoring games. So we had the Rams, who were previously, before this game, the highest-scoring team, scoring around 32 points per game. They took on the old Vikings. What happened there, Charles?
Well, the Vikings are looking very good. I know you're talking about the Eagles looking good, but I think one team going under the radar is the Vikings. Their defense, you know, almost, you know, effectively almost shut out the Rams, who had been scoring for fun on most teams. They kept them to just 1 touchdown. And their offense, they've got Adam Thielen, they've got Stephon Diggs, who are looking, you know, like one of the best partnerships in wide receivers in the league. Kyle Rudolph is a big, steady tight end target. Mm-hmm. And their dual threat running backs is kind of looking like it's dual, you know, comparing to the almost infamous now Ingram and Kamara partnership. You know, in McKinnon and Murray, they're both looking very, very good. And again,
which you wouldn't have expected from Murray preseason. He got released by the Raiders, and then McKinnon.
Well,
he
released
was kind
strong.
Of just,
he went into free agency.
No one wanted him. Come on.
Well, but no, but it's they're looking very good considering they lost Adrian Peterson. Their big wide receiver target prospect they picked last year, Laquon Treadwell, was an absolute flop. It looked like, oh god, everything's gone to ruins. And now, kind of seemingly out of nowhere, they've got weapons all over the place, and that's all with their backup quarterback, who's looking like this was obviously the game,
his revenge game.
Well, it was his revenge game, but it was also it was Goff and Case Keenum both going, all right, this is brilliant. This is us post Jeff Fisher. We're now playing for really good winning teams. And playing with confidence, and it shows. They're both looking, you know, like completely different players to they both did last season. Where they, if you watched All or Nothing, I mean, you couldn't get a smile out of either of them.
There's got to be back-to-back seasons of All or Nothing from the Rams. That would be such good footage.
Yeah, I know. Just the difference in every aspect, really. But yeah, that was a very good performance from the Vikings, and their defense is very good. Xavier Rhodes, a cornerback, is just an absolute beast, as well as a host of other players they've got.
Certainly.
There.
So my alarm's just gone off, and that means nothing other than Charles, chew my ear off. Talk about Jags for a bit.
Well, the Jags have now won 4 in a row.
That is all we need from the Jags right now.
We are 7-3, having beaten the Browns, and we beat them despite our offense having very little production in the sleet and the snow. Our defense is just I called it after the first couple of weeks. It is legit. It is absolutely phenomenal. We are number one against quarterbacks in the league, number one against wide receivers in the league. Since we signed Darius, we're number one against running backs in the league. We're number six against tight ends in the league. You just cannot do anything against these guys. There's Pro Bowl players at every level of the defense, and it's unbelievable to watch. Because,
and if only you had a good quarterback.
That's the thing. That's the amazing thing. But. Well, no, if next season, all of our defense are under contract until 2018, which is an amazing thing as well. So in the off season, if we can sign a quarterback, maybe Kirk Cousins or someone who's not Blake Bortles, who hasn't been as bad as as he could have been. He has managed the game quite well, not throwing a pick sixes. He hasn't thrown one all season. And,
perhaps there's less reluctance from the Chiefs to get rid of Alex Smith now. So,
yeah,
he could certainly move on.
He could be available because, obviously, we've seen that, the Chiefs have now lost 4 in a row compared to the Jags winning 4 in a row. They started the season 6-0 and now 6-4, and the playoffs, which were looking like a lock, are potentially falling through their fingertips, which is quite sad because they were playing such good football.
Watching you do quick math like that is magmatic, is that?
I don't know what you just said. To sum up, but also in this Jags-Cleveland game, one thing that was noticeable, that the Jags won despite the fact that the officiating in the game was absolutely just bizarre. There were so many calls that went against the Jags that are almost unfathomable. And to sum up that point, the Cleveland Browns did not get one penalty against them the entire game. The last time that happened to
was
the Browns...
Was it confirmed for the whole game? Because I knew...
Confirmed for the whole game. Oh, okay. And the last time that happened was the 1970s. And that in this season, the Browns had, in their first 9 games, had 70 penalties against them.
Just much better execution, and that's what you want to see from a Browns team that are looking to get their first win of the season. Make JP happy.
There were so many times the referees just didn't throw for flags when they were just holding players in headlocks, and it was a bizarre game. There was a Dede Westbrook catch which got overturned. I have no idea why.
Is that the man who said he'd get 200 yards the game and he got 40?
You got 35 yards.
Oh, I'm sorry, 35.
It's still good to add to the wide receiving corps. But again, this is the second time this season the Jags have had a forced fumble where with a player picking up the ball about to run and score a touchdown, and the referees have blown the play dead, and then gone back and go, actually, no, we shouldn't have blown it dead. That should have been a touchdown. But because they've blown it, they have to then just go back to where they picked the ball up, and it's cost the Jags 2 touchdowns. This time it didn't cost them the win.
Because 30 seconds later, they sacked the quarterback, picked up the ball and ran into the end zone.
Well, they did exactly the same thing, which is great. But it did cost the Jags a win against the Rams, because they did that against the Rams, and we did actually lose that game. It was the last game we lost.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Charles.
Still bitter.
Almost devastating.
Yeah, but go Jags. We're pretty much made the playoffs for the first time in a decade.
I know, and I'd be quite excited if Chargers can do a late run. We've got the Eagles with Adley and Charlie over there. We've got the Jags with you, Charles. We've got the Chargers hopefully making the playoffs, and then JP, number one pick in the draft.
And JP can watch us having fun.
as he is so grateful to all your fans for voting him that way. Other things around the league, just to finalise, was the more great celebrations. We picked up on the Duck Duck Goose, and there was a really fun one with the Texans where Hopkins and I think it was Deontay Foreman did a bit of a relay race. I think they're getting a bit... There's still a lot of creativity there.
Yeah.
How much time do you reckon they spend per week?
Probably a bit too much. There was another player who... I can't remember who it was now. He jumped in the crowd and just started standing next to the fans and clapping. It was quite funny, but I think it's worth pointing out that one of the highlights I thought in the game, I actually scared the bejesus out of my new fiance by screaming because I couldn't believe it happened when Kirkpatrick, the cornerback for the Bengals, intercepted the ball in his own end zone, ran for what was seemingly going to be a 100-yard pick six touchdown, and out of absolutely nothing, with about 5 yards to go, just dropped the ball and or flicked the ball out of his own hands.
He just bubbled it a little bit.
I screamed because I was like, what are you doing? He was so concerned about what was going on behind him that he forgot to... He just forgot to hold on to a ball. And then, fortunately, he did get the ball back and managed to force it and drop by the 1 yard line. But if he dropped that, that would have been one of like the all-time biggest screw-ups. It was...
Well, no, because we talked to one pre-season where DeSean Jackson was running. He drops it on the 1 yard line. At least they got a touchdown.
No, of course. I would say, yeah, but... If he had fumbled it, that would have been amazing.
And that was one of the last interceptions, hopefully, we'll see from Brock Osweiler with Paxton Lynch replacing him now.
Yeah, I mean, this is their third quarterback of the season. And, you know, that's with six losses in a row, they've got to change something. They've changed their offensive coordinator. I mentioned the news. It's, you know, things are going from bad to worse with them.
So I feel like we've covered a lot of the news in this section. Is there anything really, really important or exciting out there, or is it fluff that we can ignore for next week?
Well, I mean, we did tweet it out, but the old Falcon Stadium got demolished. It got imploded, and there was a very funny thing that on one of the live news streams of it, the guy was waiting for 45 minutes, waiting for the sudden implosion, and just as it happened, a bus... pulled up and just blocked the view entirely. And it just, for the key 5 seconds, there was just a bus in the way, and the guy on the camera was just like swearing, "Get out the way, bus." It was very funny. Check
just
out
like
our Twitter.
London buses. Never come when you want them to come, always arrive.
Yeah, that's
at the
expression.
Worst possible moment. kick us off with You Been Shamed, Charles.
This is my turn to host You Been Shamed in JP's absence. First and foremost, let's go to your bet. You had a double down bet after the Carlos Hyde controversy, which you would have won even without him. But you face JP again in a matchup, and despite Kirk Cousins for JP scoring 26 points versus Derek Carr only scoring 13, you actually came out victorious. So you have beaten JP twice.
Woo!
Congratulations.
I think I beat him 5 times in a row, to be fair.
No, it was very impressive. It's some of your shouts. Landry, very good shout, 17 points. And Croft got a touchdown. He could have got more if he didn't get injured halfway through the game. So, good shout.
Excellent. So, because of that, I get to change his NFL fantasy name for a week and his Twitter name.
Yeah.
So, I'm very excited for that.
Watch out for that. That'll be. I'm interested to see what you come up with. I'm sure with your avid imagination, you'll come up with something hideous. In terms of shaming people, I mentioned Derek Carr didn't have a great game. You said, apart from that, it's all JP. he'll have fun listening to this. I've got quite a long list here. JP, he called Doug Martin for running back, who was absolutely appalling. He got 5 points in half point PPR and is averaging running just over 2 yards per carry, so that's not good. If you're aware, he also named as his banker in the Eagles game Nelson Aguilar, who got in such a high scoring game, got 0.3 points. So yeah, don't bank on that. And finally, I couldn't let this go. He said the Jags defense would be a tanker against the Browns, and as
boy, was
know,
he wrong.
They scored 28 points with three forced fumbles, a touchdown, 5 sacks, and a multitude of interceptions. So I don't think that worked out for him. So, but to be fair, yeah, I've given him a lot of grief. He did say Latavius Murray would be the banker in the Vikings game, and he did come out with a 2-touchdown game. So fair play on that one.
Vikings runner. I banked on the not banked, but I selected as my running back to be McKinnon, running back of the week. It should have been Murray.
Exactly. But, you know.
It all works nonetheless. Halftime snacks as I eye up these beautiful duck gyozas over here. Zing Zing, MSG-free Chinese food. I don't even need the script in front of me. I can reel it off on the top of my head. 20 bites is the coupon thing to insert.
Yeah.
And that gives you 20% off.
It will indeed.
Which, if you buy 20 things, you only have to pay for 16.
Right, okay, that was some weird maths, but... But yeah, so enjoy some delicious Zing Zing Chinese food. It's very good.
My favourite time of the week is week 12 previews.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to, before you interrupt me, I'll just give you a shout out because you, Greeny, you called Keenan Allen last. I thought we would, because we played Top Gear last, you and JP played Top Gear last week. And you said a player that hasn't quite reached his Top Gear was Keenan Allen. And I mean, for the second time, you couldn't have been more vindicated by picking a Chargers player. We had the great shout with Eckler, as you'll remember, and Keenan Allen had he'd only got one touchdown all year and very few, not much catches or yardage. He came out, two touchdowns, 180 yards, 12 catches on 13 targets. Unbelievable game. And I mean, if that's not Top Gear, then I don't know what it is. So well played.
Ah, thank you, sir. And that clapping is a bit too much.
We'll add that sound effect in later, don't worry.
Yeah, and the Bills are one of the more difficult teams to pass against. So,
well,
great performance from Allen.
Yes, yeah.
Had been.
Yeah. Okay, well, now, yeah, let's go into the Week 12 previews. This is our banker, tanker, and cheeky wanker offer for the upcoming games. We'll start off with one of the Thanksgiving matchups.
So we have three Thanksgiving matchups on Thursday, which will be released in time.
Yeah. Quick trivia. I wonder if you know. You may well. There are two teams that always play at home on Thanksgiving. Do you know who they are?
I do indeed know. And it may be a feature of Top Three Town later.
Oh, okay.
But it is the Lions and the Cowboys.
It is indeed. So, if you've got that at home, well done. Oh, there we go. So, speaking of the Lions are playing at home, obviously, to the Vikings, who we spoke about how good they've been. You've got the pleasure of selecting the banker in this game. It seems like it could be a good game. Off you go.
Yeah, so this is 5:30. I will be scrambling home from work to watch this. I've got Latavius Murray. He's off the back of a great performance, but he's not a top 10 running back at this point. The RBs will just have a good matchup against the Lions.
Fair enough. For the tanker, I'm going to go Marvin Jones. I mentioned Xavier Rhodes earlier. I think he will he'll be kind of shadowing Marvin Jones, I would imagine. And Stafford, now that Kelly Golladay's back, has been spreading the ball out a bit more. Mm-hmm. And even though it looked like Marvin Jones was back for a few games, I'd probably bench him this week. It's not a good matchup, and he might not do so well for you.
Yeah, certainly one of the best cornerbacks in the league. My cheeky wanker is I've gone Theo Riddick, and he's become the best running back for the Lions. You know, Abdullah is just, he can't run over 50 yards. If he had a practice field in front of him, he's looking terrible.
He's been really
Theo Riddick is he made, you know, Stafford won't be able to throw so much against Xavier Rhodes, so he'll have the kind of depend on Theo Riddick in short midfield situations.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Theoretically speaking,
300 times worse than
I'm sorry. One of the other Thanksgiving's games is the Cowboys against your Chargers.
Oh, and they will be wearing the most beautiful Thanksgiving blue. They'll be wearing our...
Is that a shade of blue?
Thanksgiving blue?
Yeah.
You know where? I will be wearing it to work.
Nice.
The Colour Rush.
Okay. Oh, very nice. You're a big fan of that, I know. For the banker, we mentioned it before, and it's got to be Keenan Allen. He's hit his top gear, and he's going to stay there in a game against the Cowboys where the Cowboys secondary is not that great. I feel like, you know, if you're in a position where you were worried about Keenan Allen, repeating himself, you know, he might not necessarily get 40 points, but he's a must play.
And my tanker is Dez Bryant. He's coming off the back of actually a middling performance compared to how Dak was able to throw. But he's lined up against Casey Hayward, who's just a phenomenal cornerback at this moment for the Chargers. So avoid, I'd say, where possible.
Fair enough. My cheeky wanker for this game is Rod Smith. I think it all depends if Tyrone Smith comes back for the Cowboys at left tackle, because it makes such a big difference to their offensive line. But I feel like the Chargers might get a bit of a lead in this, and they let LeSean McCoy have a huge game against them last weekend, and maybe the running game, the Cowboys might be able to get something going And if they're going from behind, Rod Smith might be, you know, as a pass catching back, picking up some yards. So he could be a flex worthy option if you're struggling at running back.
I do like that shout. The final matchup on Thanksgiving is the Redskins, who face the Giants. And I think in previous years, that would have been a very juicy matchup. But right now, it's kind of teams struggling to get out of the season alive and into the wildcard positions.
Yeah. My banker, I realise you might have some pushback on it, but I've gone Kirk Cousins. I just think he, you know...
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you might have him as your second... You know, I know a lot of people have got him paired up with another quarterback. Maybe you've got him and Carson Wentz or something. I'd go Kirk Cousins ahead of someone like Wentz against, because I think they're going to have such a good matchup. He's in such good form that he could have a very big game, even though he's lost one of his favourite targets in Chris Thompson.
Yeah. And for my tanker, people have said previously that Sterling Shepard, you know, play him every week because of volume, but he's going to be lined against Josh Norman a lot of the time. Very difficult matchup.
Fair enough. Interesting.
And my cheeky wanker. I've gone with Lewis, the wide receiver for the Giants. Shepard against Norman, that'll leave a lot, you know, someone's got to be thrown to.
Normally Ingram.
Yeah, but he only got one reception last week.
True.
Or one target. So, and I think Lewis got five receptions. So
fair dues.
He's getting something there. So Sunday, back to normal time, 6 p.m. Chiefs v. Bills, the AFC West. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yeah. Chiefs AFC West. I misread that. Bills out in the AFC East.
Yeah.
And I've got the banker. The banker here has got to be Tyreek Hill. He probably won't do what Keenan Allen did against the Bills, but the Bills just can't cover anyone.
Yeah, and that kind of goes into my tanker. I mean, I know you probably got rid of them at this point, but at one stage in the season, the Buffalo Bills defense were, you know, an autoplay in fantasy. You just drop them, never touch them again. This game is going to be bad for them. You know, I know Alex Smith and Kelsey threw interceptions in the last game, so the Giants had a good fantasy day last week, but the Bills' defence has just been really poor, and I don't know if Micah Hyde might be injured as well. He went down in the game last week as well, so yeah, just avoid. But in terms of the cheeky wanker, Jordan Matthews, we seemingly keep saying his name.
Is he playing?
Isn't Kelvin Benjamin injured?
Yeah.
Is Jordan Matthews not injured?
It's not certain at this point. He's always injured.
Okay. Well, there we go. Either go Jordan Matthews, assuming Kelvin Benjamin doesn't play. If Jordan Matthews is fit, play him. If not, play Zay Jones, because someone's got to catch the ball. And without Kelvin Benjamin, then someone's going to have to catch the ball.
Michelle's speciality of covering his back.
Well, you only told me now that he's injured, and if he's injured, I don't want to. I've got to pick someone else. So the other wide receiver.
Fair enough.
Yeah. The Rams, the high scoring Rams, play the even more high scoring Saints. We didn't actually mention in the news the Saints game against the Redskins. That was an unbelievable comeback from the Saints. At one point, they were over three scores behind, and
it was 14 points in the last 6 minutes.
Yeah, unbelievable. And you know, their 8-game winning streak is the first time ever a team has had an 8-game winning streak having lost the first two games of the season. So that's a little fun fact for you.
Wow. And since Peterson left to go to the Cardinals, Ingram and Kamara have been the fantasy 1 and 2 for running backs.
I know. It's amazing. Absolutely crazy.
And that's I have
with,
none of them.
Yeah. And that's with Drew Brees at quarterback, who, you know, is a perennial 5,000 yards plus a season thrower. And now they're just running it all over teams, which is just amazing to watch. Yeah. But yeah, in this game... who's your banker?
Yeah, so my banker I've gone with Robert Woods. I think he got injured. I think he's likely to miss the next game. I don't think the targets are going to Sammy Watkins. I think they'll go to Cooper Kupp.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say Sammy Watkins. I think he could have a good game. Especially now Marshall Nattimore is injured.
Is he going to miss the game?
As far as I saw, I thought he was. If you know, he might be back. But if he does, the number one wide receiver is technically Sammy Watkins on that offense, and he could have a couple of big plays.
Right, and tanker Charles.
Tanker again. I think this is going to be a bit high scoring game, a very high scoring game, and I think
this is the worst moment for you to put a sweet in your mouth.
I thought you were going to talk longer. I think both defenses are. You know, the Rams have been a very high-scoring defense all season. The Saints have been a high-scoring defense. I very much try and get another option if you can for this game. It'll be a big game.
Excellent. Cheeky wanker, Kobe Fleener. I think he got 5 receptions in the last game. Hopefully the Saints are throwing a bit more in this game and we get a very high-scoring game. Okay, on to the late match, the late Monday matchup. We got the Ravens-Texans. Quietly, these guys could slip into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Certainly got contention at 5-5 for the Ravens and 4-6 for Texans. Who's your banker, Charles?
My banker is one that's a bit bold, shout. Jeremy Maclin. Okay. I think he's quietly having a decent season. Not blowing anyone away, but he's been pretty good. He's been solid. And the Texans' secondary is just so bad. They're letting everyone do what they want. And Maclin is the number one wide receiver technically on the offense, and I think he could have a good game.
How much are they missing Bouye? That's certainly for sure at the Texans.
Yeah.
My tanker for this game is Lamar Miller. We had Deonte Foreman go down, so there's a lot of reliance now on Miller. And the Ravens have one of the best rushing defenses. So I think Miller will not be fresh during this game. And will really struggle to get that yards that he's been relying on, really.
Fair enough. Well, I haven't actually written the cheeky wank for some reason, but I'm actually going to go ever so slightly against what you just said and actually pick Alfred Blue. I think if the Ravens get ahead, the Texans will have to use their new pass catching back. Well, I say new, old.
Would there not be Andre Ellington? Recently signed for the
recently
Texans.
Recently signed. Ah, I did not know that. In which case, I withdraw that, and I will pick. I will pick Benjamin Watson.
Okay. What a lovely pick.
Yeah, thank you very much. And now. It's that time of the week. Top three town, formerly known as Greenie's Top Three.
Okay, you can call it whatever you want. It's still the same magic delivered.
Dance
every
Top
week.
Three.
No. So I've gone Thanksgiving twist for this top three. I'll just go over the history you mentioned. So the Lions and the Cowboys play every year at home, and that stems back to Detroit with their humble origins in the Portsmouth Spartans back in 1929. They moved 5 years later to Detroit. They couldn't compete against the Detroit Tigers in baseball, so they thought, let's just find a day when no one else is playing. So they picked Thanksgiving, got the full capacity in the stadium, and not really looked back. Nice. The Cowboys thought the same thing. They're like, we're struggling with revenue. We need people in the stadiums. It's commercial stuff here we're talking.
Fair enough. Well, Greenie's Commercial Corner, is it? Occasionally gets called behind your back.
So the top three is going to be top three bizarre things to happen in Thanksgiving games.
Okay.
I enjoy watching the full games on Thanksgiving. There's always teams put extra effort in because they know otherwise why the hell would I be there and not with my family back home. So number three is happened in 1993 and was the Dolphins v Cowboys. So it was a rare snowy game in Texas. In Dallas with the field covered in snow. The Dolphins had a chance to win the game with a 41-yard field goal in the final seconds. The field goal attempt was blocked and the ball rolled all the way down to the 10-yard line. Inexplicably, the Cowboys defensive lineman or special teams player tried to recover the ball and ended up falling on it and kicking it to be recovered by the Dolphins. And the Dolphins had a second chance then for the field goal to win.
Really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It absolutely is ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Try and find that online. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, we'll post that after. Number two is the very infamous butt fumble.
Of course. I assumed that was going to be number one. I'm really excited to see number one. Butt fumble is number two.
So this is where Sanchez for the Jets, he runs into his offensive lineman's ass and fumbles the ball. The Patriots pick up the ball, recover it for the touchdown. It is incredible to watch because Sanchez has been the laughingstock of the NFL ever since.
Yeah, I mean, if that's number two in a list of the funniest and weirdest things to happen in Thanksgiving, I think that's one of the funniest things to happen in the NFL history. So I'm intrigued by the ordering.
I think when people zig, I zag, so that's why I've gone with that. But that actual butt fumble kicked off a sequence where the Jets fumbled 3 times in the second quarter with the Patriots scoring a perfect hat-trick of an offensive, defensive, and special teams touchdown.
Nice. Little bonus fact there, didn't
it? Yeah. Number one is the Lions
number v... nine.
Going back. Number one is the Lions v Steelers in 98. So Jerome Bettis of the Steelers was asked to make a call for the coin flip. And at those times, they actually flip it first and they call it whilst in the air. So with the coin in the air, he calls tails. And the referee repeats, the call is heads. And the coin ended up being tails. So the Lions got the ball in the first possession in overtime and got a touchdown to win the game.
Really? What?
So Jerome Bettis is protesting and goes like, no, I said tails. Yeah. And he's like, no, you said heads tails. So I don't know how you could argue that. That was pretty ridiculous.
You said heads tails.
And they've changed the rules ever since so that you have to call it.
You can't say heads tails.
You can't say heads tails and you have to call it before the coin is flipped. So
makes more sense.
The ref can go, what the hell did you just say?
Yeah. Heads tails. Well, that was good. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much. I think it's that time where we make a fun little pun of a British TV show and make it NFL related. And this week we've gone with Big Bother, which is a nice little quirky take on Big Brother,
which may be Dutch actually, but irrelevant.
Yeah, but
to the
it's
point.
On here, so it counts. What we're going to talk about here are players that have so far in the season been studs, so top five in their position, top ten. But we're slightly worried about what they might do to your team in fantasy for the remainder of the season or if you're relying on the playoffs.
Which is going to be weeks 15 and week 16 in most leagues.
And if you're playing to week 17 in fantasy, you're doing it wrong. So,
Very good point.
I think, quite the easy one, I think, to pick is Alex Smith. He's currently the number four quarterback in our scoring system. And... They're just looking really not as good as they were. I mean, they've lost four in a row, and they might even bring in Mahomes. I think he went from an auto start, guaranteeing you between 20 and 30 points in a week, having fun with Kelsey and Hill every week, to really disappointing. And I feel like he's one that he's a big bother.
Nice. My pick is DeAndre Hopkins. So he managed to, even though Savage has come in and Hopkins has still maintained a certain level of consistency, somehow he managed to wiggle through for a touchdown against a hard matchup in Patrick Peterson for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But in week 15, he's playing Jacksonville. And
how's their defense?
They're okay. They're pretty legit. And then week 16, he's got the Steelers, so he got two ridiculous matchups in the playoffs. I wouldn't feel comfortable playing them at all.
Yeah, I would almost say if your trade deadline is still open, try and get whatever you can for him. Even though he's an absolute stud, you might be able to get a really good value for someone who you might not feel 100% confident on when it actually counts.
So you could probably get Keenan Allen for him, you'd imagine.
Oh. Easily, Keenan Allen and another piece comfortably. I mean, this is Hopkins is the number two scoring wide receiver in the whole league behind Antonio Brown. He's been phenomenal all season, but that matchup, although he's still an absolute stud and he did score a touchdown against the Jags in the first game of the season, it's tough to go against those two teams, especially at Jacksonville. It's going to be tough. So, I agree with that.
So have a fire sale and get what you can.
In terms of having getting trading players away, I thought you did, with a last one I thought I'd mention, is you trade away Todd Gurley recently. And I think that's not a bad shout. I think he had a ludicrous start to the season. And he was scoring for fun 30 points every week, guaranteed pretty much. And he's a number one running back in the league in fantasy, but as we saw against the Vikings, their schedule is getting a lot harder, he did get a touchdown, but he also only got about 30 yards this week, and he's going to find it a lot more tough going for the rest of the season. And so again, I think you did well selling him when his value was high, and well done to you again, Greeny.
I sold Gurley and T.Y. Hilton, who's got terrible matchups, for LeSean McCoy and Michael Thomas. So I've got two top-tier running back and wide receivers
Absolutely.
For that. With great matchups in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So let's go through our top picks for Week 12. We'll pick our quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. We know the rules. Can't pick top five for quarterback or tight end. Top 10 for wide receivers and running backs. Kick us off, Charles. We'll try no duplications, but
I have only written one name.
And I know. Can I guess who you've gone for quarterback?
Yeah.
Is it Andy Dalton?
It's Andy Dalton. He's playing the Browns. He always has a good game against the Browns. And although the Browns have got, you know, their defense isn't actually that bad. The Bengals running game, Mixon hasn't really looked very good. Their offensive line has been really poor running, and they've got AJ Green, so they're going to have to be throwing it to him quite a bit. Brandon LaFell's looking good. Dalton is going to have a good game.
Yeah, he certainly might. But I'm going to leverage...
He certainly might.
Big Ben, he's playing the Packers. He had a monster game against the Titans. Not a great season, but let's see what he can do against quite a porous Packers defence.
Oh, there we go. Have to say porous at least once a week.
Yeah. And I'll just kick off with running back. So I'm going Alfie Morris against...
I've got Alfred Morris.
Oh, what a pity for you. So Alfie Morris against the Chargers.
You saw I had written Alfie Morris.
No one can read your illegible writing. The Chargers have obviously conceded a lot of rushing yards to McCoy last week and have not the best rushing defense. So, and Alfie Morris is kind of, if Tyron Smith is playing, they've got an offensive lineman that can create holes. Go on, pick up another running back.
I mean...
Go wide receiver and come back.
Okay. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I feel like I can say it because I'm gonna argue with
it. Okay, you say it.
I'm going to say Kareem Hunt... And I know he's in the top 10, but that if you actually take out the last six, seven weeks, he's been really poor, hasn't scored a touchdown. He's top 10 because of the first 3 or 4 weeks. So, and this is my backup choice that I'm just picking on the spot, but he is playing the Bills this week, who we talked about their rushing defense. And I'm going to go Kareem Hunt this week. He's going to be a big, and I think that's fair.
Okay, because we're not actually betting against each other, yeah. I'll allow it.
Wide receiver, I'm going to go Demaryius Thomas. I think he is... the number one in wide receiver in the offense. They're going to start throwing it more, hopefully with Paxton Lynch, and I think he has a good matchup this week.
Awesome, yeah. So I've gone Rishard Matthews.
Yep.
They're playing the Colts, and Mariota has got a nice matchup here.
Yeah.
Even though he had a four interception game against the Steelers,
yeah.
I'd fancy a bounce back.
Yeah, but Rashard Matthews got over 20 points in that game, so you know, I guess more of the same.
I didn't pick Mariota, so I picked Matthews.
Tight end, I'm going to go Vernon Davis. I thought I'd get in there first on that one. He's got an amazing matchup. They're playing against the Giants.
Yep, playing against the Giants.
Last week was actually the first time all season that a tight end didn't score a touchdown against them. And that was Travis Kelce of all players, but Travis Kelce did get over 100 yards. So they've either let a tight end score a touchdown or get 100 yards in every game this season. And I don't see any reason, as long as Jordan Reed is still injured, why Vernon Davis changes that.
Okay, and I'm going to go Jared Cook. They're playing the Broncos.
Very poor against the tight end, the Broncos, because of their wide receivers being, you know, such locked, you know, not their cornerbacks locking down the wide receivers. The tight end's the only other really option for the opposing quarterback.
I just worry about Carr a little bit, but let's go Jared Cook and see how that rolls.
That's fair. I think time will be do a quick shout out before our questions to finish the episode. But shout out to our morning glory. We spoke about Dak Prescott being a morning glory for people who are playing against him. I'm sure many people won because of that.
And, to play against Dak and not win.
Yeah, I feel really bad. But morning glory on Monday, Monday night, so waking up on Tuesday morning, was Russell Wilson and Jimmy Graham. Russell Wilson, you know, he rushed for 86 yards, which is more than any Seahawks running back has done this season, I think. Or certainly for the last six weeks.
They've got a terrible rushing
game. Yes, but that's an incredible... That's, you know, that's a lot, and a rushing touchdown.
If you're a player and you get 86 rushing yards and a touchdown, you're happy.
Yeah, let alone throwing for two more touchdowns. Although he did throw for another two or three interceptions, but it doesn't matter. And Jimmy Graham, a touchdown and 60 yards and multiple receptions. He's looking very good. I think that's the third week in a row of him playing that he scored 17 points in fantasy, so that's Steady Eddie there at a very high, nice rate. So, questions. We're going to start with 10. Who are our dark horses for the AFC and the NFC playoffs? So I think, do you want to start with your AFC shout? I've got a funny feeling I know you're going to say here.
I'm not going to jinx it with my own fandom right here. So going to go with the Ravens. I think you're going to see Danny Woodhead back, and you're going to see that defense really churn them into a good position there.
Okay, no, fair enough. I will, in that case, I will say the Chargers. I was banking, I thought you would say that, because I was going to say the Bengals otherwise, but I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think the Chargers, you know, you had a really poor start to the season, and you're doing it the right way around by finishing strong, as you normally do. But I think the qualification process, I guess, to get into the playoffs in the AFC, the bar set quite low this year, and I feel like you could definitely make it. In the NFC... who have you gone for there?
I've gone the Panthers. They're picking up form. They're fresh from a bye week. Cam Newton is looking good. They've got addition by subtraction and getting rid of Kelvin Benjamin. Newton wants to put it on his back and just carry the team all the way to the playoffs.
Fair enough. I mean, dark horse is strong considering they're 7-3 and currently the fourth ranked team in the playoff picture. But, you know, I'll let that go.
Well, they're so far behind the Saints, and you've got Falcons.
Well, we're one win behind the Saints.
And the Falcons, obviously.
I was actually going to Falcons. Okay. I think the Falcons are my dark horse because they are actually only 6-4. They went on a bad run, and I think I called them as my preseason prediction, and despite having a bit of a blip, I think they're back into the winning ways. Another question from Darren on Twitter. How many coaches will be fired by the end of the season, and who are the main contenders?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with three. I'm not going to name all of those three. No, I think Chuck Pagano is really on his last legs for the Colts.
Although it is tough without Luck, but you're right. They've not been great.
You have no Luck. You have no Andrew Luck. yeah, but he just hasn't built a team around... non-luck.
Yeah, no, fair enough. He's, you know,
yeah, and yeah. you got kind of Marvin Lewis, who looks like he's coming towards the end of his tenure at the Bengals.
Yeah,
talented squad, but he's not utilizing them. And then other, you know, Hugh Jackson, obviously at the Browns. You know,
yeah.
One win in 24 games or
I know,
something.
It's amazing. I mean, obviously, I think the number one shout has to be Ben McAdoo at the Giants. I know they beat the Chiefs, thoroughly spanked the Chiefs 9-6 in overtime, but. I mean, how much longer can he realistically be given? They've been absolutely atrocious, and it's surely time for him to go. I think he's actually the number one main contender.
Sure, but it's only because they really called it out that they'll give him to the end of the season. I just don't think they'll do anything mid-season.
Fair enough. That's fair. Michelle Walker has said, what non-stud fantasy players are you looking to ride into the playoffs or make a late push to the playoffs based on favourable matchups?
So I've got Emmanuel Sanders, and he was someone I really touted pre-season. Unfortunately, he hasn't quite hit the highs, but he's had a few really beastly games. But now with Paxton Lynch, Lynch threw his first ever touchdown to Sanders. They're playing the Jets, the Colts, and the Redskins. There's good matchups there for Sanders.
Fair enough. I think the Jags have got a very, very good schedule. So I think, despite the fact they've been running a lot... You know, in deeper leagues, Blake Bortles could be a decent shout in very deep leagues. And Marquise Lee at wide receiver, you know, he's been quite good recently, and he's got very good matchups against an awful Texans team. And I think they're playing the San Francisco 49ers. So very, very good matchups. And a couple of shout-outs for Devin Funchess for the Panthers, you just mentioned. Juju Smith-Schuster as well has a very nice matchup in the playoffs.
Perfect. Charlie, you've been waiting so patiently. All you want to do is go home and cook that turkey and baste it all day. Are you ready for some questions?
Okay, cool. This week, you can work together on this one. You can work as a team if you want.
Nice. Team task.
I want you to name as many ways a team can score 7 points.
Okay, well, let's start off with a touchdown and a point after.
So does it matter if you do offensive or defensive or special teams touchdown?
No, just the points is
okay.
Fine.
Okay, then you can go, let's do the quick math. You can get a field goal.
Yep, that's three.
I'm on three, and then we need to get to seven. Let's hit us with two safeties. Yeah. How about that?
Do we have to do the order, or do we just do totaling seven?
No, quite frankly, that would be ridiculous.
Okay, that's a very good point, because otherwise, who would ask such a ridiculous question otherwise? All right, so two. We're going to go two.
Yeah, that's it.
Fantastic.
What a trivia to spread around the Thanksgiving table.
Wonderful.
And wholesome.
Tell your friends.
And with everyone's heads at home hurting, at this point, we want to say thank you for joining us on our Thanksgiving edition of the show. We are Brits in the End Zone. You can catch us on Brits_Endzone at BritsEndzone@gmail.com, some other Brits End Zone social media stuff.
Yeah.
Just go home, watch some James Bond and have a turkey. How about that?
Great. I don't know what that ending was, but awesome. Have fun. Be thankful for many things, including us, and we'll thank you. See you later.
How will you thank them?
I just did.
Ah.
Bye.